We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 12. And really this is just a quick recap on what we were looking at last week. Because if you recall, those of you that were with us, that we've been looking at this subject of the Lord, and we started looking at the process. So the process of waiting on God, and some scriptural guidelines that we can take hold of to help us and to enable us to come before the Lord on a personal basis. And last week we were looking at this verse in Hebrews 12, verse 1, where it says this: "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." And I will stop the sentence there. Here, when the writer to the Hebrews is telling the church in verse 2 that they are to look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And part of that, he says, to enable them to look at the Lord, he gave them this instruction that they were to lay aside every weight, everything that would distract, everything that would hold them back. That includes sin. It includes perhaps concerns and things that we have. Now, it's not necessarily wrong that we have those, but we're told what to do with those, to lay them onto the Lord, to give them to the Lord when we've got needs and things like that. But any distraction, anything that will hold us back from breaking through in our waiting on God. And we spent a lot of time, we said one of the biggest weights we need to get rid of is sin, because that's what he goes on here in the next statement. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Later on in this chapter we saw that as part of that laying aside our sin and those weights, he told us to be holy and pursue peace. Something else we looked at and said that we should lay aside is our that what we allow the enemy to have access to in our lives. You know, we saw from various scriptures that we were to be careful what we give the devil access to. You know, we can open up things and we can surrender too much. But I want to just develop that theme again this evening and looking at something else that we must learn to lay aside is time. Now, to wait on the Lord, we need to take time. It's not something we can just do in a couple of minutes. We've got to allocate time to the Lord. We've said before in previous weeks that waiting on the Lord cannot be rushed. And we need to make time or allocate time in our busy schedules to wait on God on a regular basis. Now, this requires discipline on our part because obviously we all have busy lives, we're busy working. A few years ago, actually I can give you the exact date because it's etched in my memory and I've got notes that I made. It was the 30th of December, 1997. So going back a few years, 20 years or thereabouts, nearly 20 years. We had, obviously, 30th of December. This is that period of time in between the Christmas time when we were celebrating the birth of the Lord and New Year, and work was we used to take a week's holiday. We used to shut down, and so I don't think I was working. But this particular day, we'd been shopping. And we'd actually driven a quite a lengthy drive to go shopping. do a little bit of bargain hunting in the shops. And we got back and we were sitting down, we'd eaten something to eat, and we just sat down to watch a movie on the TV. And we were enjoying the movie and watching this film. And during this time, I just felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit to just get alone with God, to spend some time with Him. And so I immediately left the room and I went up to my bedroom. And I began to pray and just find out what it was that the Lord, I felt this urging, this prompting in my spirit, what it was that the Lord wanted. And during that time of prayer, and as I was just before the Lord, as I was waiting on Him and worshipping Him and praying, I got this, whether you say the Lord spoke to me, you got this impression inside that the Lord wanted to do something. And I made a promise to Him on that evening. And I promised Him then, and I trust and I think, as far as I'm aware, that I've been faithful to that promise. I promised Him that everything the Lord showed me, I would teach to the church and to other Christians and people that were seeking God. So everything He showed me, everything He revealed to me, that I would teach it and proclaim it. And really, I go back to that one night of just that time when I was busy. Well, I say busy, we were watching the TV. I wasn't thinking about the Lord in that sense. We were watching the film, the movie. But that evening, I believe it's from that evening that the ministry that I have today was birthed. Why? Because I was prepared to make that sacrifice to skip the film. To not be too busy to go before the Lord. And I had to make the time to spend with Him. You know, I wouldn't have done it had I felt that prompting. You know, we said this a couple of weeks ago. You know, when we're coming before the Lord, there's these two polar experiences. One, that we feel so desperate that we need to meet with God, which drives us to meet with Him. And then on the other hand, God is making Himself manifest to us and draws us and calls us and prompts us to come before Him. Of course, waiting on God can be done anytime, anywhere, because what we are actually doing here is setting aside a time to seek Him and to meet with Him. Now, not disregarding what I said about not rushing this time, it can just be a few minutes when we need to meet with the Lord. It can be over a day or over a longer period of time. And actually, some people find it very valid to actually get away for a few days, book themselves into a hotel or something and just separate themselves from the world. We call these generally retreat days, or they go on a retreat. And they can just give that time wholly over to seeking God and being with Him. Now, what I'm going to say is not essential. Because you can pray at any time. You can meet with God at any time of the day, anywhere. But a lot of people agree that the best time to get close with God is first thing in the day. Now, that doesn't work for everybody. But there are a lot of people that agree that that's the best time. Whether that's right for you, then I'll leave that between you and the Lord. I'm not going to say that it's got to be done at the first thing in the morning or last thing in the evening. I'm not going to fix a time that it's between you and the Lord. But let's just go to some of the scriptures, some of the Psalms. Because I believe it was David, the psalmist, in Psalm 63. He says here in Psalm 63, verse 1, he talks about seeking God early. Because he says, "Oh God, You are my God. Early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." So the opening statements of this psalm. He says, he's proclaiming, God, he says, I'm coming before you early. Early will I seek you. There are other scriptures. Again, as always, we've got a lot of jumping around to do tonight in the Bible. But in Psalm 5, again, you don't have to turn it up, but if you want to look at it, perhaps you ought to turn it up, because as you know, last week I made a mistake and I gave you the wrong scripture reference. Actually, it was verse 18. I checked it up when I got home. So in Psalm 5, verses 1 to 3, here he says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord." Again, this is David. "Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up." So there we see in Psalm 63, David says about seeking him early. In Psalm 5, the same man, David, is saying here that he's going to pray, he's going to seek God in the morning. We see in the life of Jesus, and we've got a reference in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 35, that Jesus, this often happened, but here's just one occasion, he very often rose, Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 35. It says, "In the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he," and it's talking about Jesus, if you look, "and there he prayed." Now, a long while before the day that the sun was up, before the day really got going, Jesus was up, he was about, he was praying, he was seeking his Father, and he, you see, he went to the solitary place. Remember, we touched on that last week or the week before. You know, getting into that place where you are alone with the Lord and praying. Now, if you look at some commentators on these scriptures, you'll see that they will say that it's good to meet with God early. And here are their reasons. One, it helps us to be more God aware during the day. We fix that beginning of the day with the Lord and we are aware of him throughout the day. Two, meeting with God early actually prevents us from procrastination or pushing off to the end or to another time an important activity or something important, or pushing it into the background, or to a section where we're perhaps not so busy, or we're not so rushed. So it prevents us from doing that if we fix a time. It enables us to start the day right with him, number three. I've got six of them. Number four, it allows us to get to order our day and set the direction for the day as we wait upon the Lord. Five, if we meet God early and we can invite him to be in control of every part of that day and every part of our lives and everything that we are going to undertake and do. And of course, number six, if we start the day with the Lord, it keeps him as the central focus of our life and our day. Now, that doesn't work for everybody. You know, it's not some doctrine that just because David did it or because we see this happens in the life of Jesus that we're going to say that this is the way we've got to be. But it's a lot of people find this good practice to start the day right. Now, my brother-in-law, I don't know whether he still thinks like this, but he used to really think that the end of the day was best for him to spend those closing moments of the day with the Lord. And of course, there are people that they start the day and they finish the day in a time of worship and praise and getting before the Lord. So that there's no real fixed doctrinal issue here. Just find what's right with us. At least spend some time. If you can't spend morning, like David says, in the evening, in the morning, and at noon, I will pray and seek you. At least find some time. And that leads us on, because what we actually need to do is find the right environment to seek the Lord. Now, waiting on God is not dependent on any ethos or any particular atmosphere. But we need to find a place that best suits. I found the best place for me was when I was in the car. When I was driving, or I could just obviously not close my eyes. But I could just spend that time praying and seeking God, and there was no one else around me. I didn't have the children making demands on me, or the pressures of work. Didn't have to think about doing things. I could just be in the car. I could drive. I could worship. I could pray. But find a place or a situation in which your spirit can be at ease. And that is the key here. It often helps to go to the same place. I think this is why Jesus told us in Matthew's Gospel to go into our room, into our closet, to close the door so that we're not being distracted. We've not got any pressures from outside. There's no external things going on. We can just come and wait on the Lord. We can dedicate and consecrate that place to Him. One thing we must make sure is that we don't allow, personally, we don't allow that sacred place, that place which we go before the Lord, to be used for anything that's ungodly. Why? Because obviously that's, for us, that becomes our tabernacle, our place, our meeting place with the Lord. When we first start to come before the Lord, what we find, and I think everybody has this, I think if we're honest, we all have this, or we've all had this, but when we first start to come before the Lord, until we become, how can I say, practiced in this, our mind naturally tends to wander, and it will try and rebel against this coming before the Lord. That's why we need that environment, a place which we can be settled in, a place we can be comfortable before God. Why? Because there's no distractions. We're not going to be seeing something happen and think, oh, I've got to deal with this. We're not going to have our focus diverted. We are waiting on the Lord. And we're going to go now, just turn up, Romans chapter 12. We read this on Sunday. And I want to just go back over it again. Because what we need to do is, because our mind naturally tends to wander, we've got to learn to renew our mind. And Paul writes to the Romans in Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. He writes these words. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. Now, in these verses, he talks about our presenting ourselves to God, coming to Him. Then he talks about, he tells us not to be conformed, not to just go with the flow of the world. He said, don't be conformed to the world. Don't just because they do it, just go along with it. He's telling us here, he says, that we must be transformed, and we had this on Sunday, Pastor preached this on Sunday, you know, this is like the caterpillar becoming the butterfly. the transformation, the metamorphosis. We're to be transformed, and we're transformed by the renewal of our mind. That's how we're transformed. We have our minds renewed so that, he says here, we may prove for ourselves what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the more we renew our minds in that area, the sooner we notice the transformation taking place. Now, we present ourselves, as he says in verse 1, before the Lord through waiting. Through giving ourselves, what does it say? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. But we don't get to the place where we prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God that he mentions at the end of verse 2 until we go through that renewal and transformation. Now, it's a process here. We present ourselves before God. We allow our minds to be renewed so that there's a transformation inside us. So we get on to that point where we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, there are lots of Christians, and I know a lot of Christians that are like this. That they're so addicted to noise that they find silence to be louder than the noise. What do I mean by that? Well, they feel uncomfortable when they try and be quiet. And it's the same in our worship, or when we come before the Lord, you know. This might be a revelation for a lot of people. You know, we don't need to be loud all the time. Just because we have a quiet time in our worship or in our prayer time, it doesn't mean that we need to fill it with talking, with singing, with doing anything else. Just to be still. Just to be quiet before the Lord. And it's this aspect in which a lot of Christians need to overcome. Because we get a quiet time and immediately we get uncomfortable, or they get uncomfortable and they think, I can't bear quietness. I've got to say something. I've got to do something. I've got to be active. No, we don't. We just need to be still. Just to be quiet. And this is an area a lot of people need these closing moments. Just thinking about how do we renew or train our minds? With the Word of God, yeah. We have the Scriptures, we have the Word of God. And as we read it, as we listen to it, as we hear someone proclaiming it, whether that's through their reading of it, through a sermon that we hear preached, whether it's something we've picked up on the TV, if we hear someone reading it, I know there's some good channels where actually all they do is just read the Scriptures. Well, all it is just a recital of the Scriptures, and you can tune in, and it's almost like a radio broadcast. You can just hear the Scriptures being read. Whether you've got a CD that you can put on, or you can download an MP3 version of it, as you hear the Word of God, whether it's from a book that you're reading where someone is quoting the Scriptures and doing a discourse on it and explaining it. However we hear, we have the Word of God. And here's a few things. Now, we have I think it's in the book of Joshua. No, it was God speaking to Moses. He told Moses to write these things. Write them down. You know, it's helpful to write down what God says to us so that we don't forget it. Now, if there's a scripture that God's impressing upon us, Write it down. Make a note of it so you can go back over it and read it, so you don't forget it, so that you can keep on going over it. That's what we mean when it's we talk about meditation. To go over it, to ponder it, to think about it, to put it on our mouth. That's what God spoke to Moses in Deuteronomy 6, I believe it is. He told him to talk about it, put it in his mouth, put it before his eyes, you know, to write it down so that they could keep on hearing what God was saying to them. So we can go back over what God has said. We can meditate on it. We can. Why should we be meditating? So that we can put it into practice. So that we can obey it. You know, God may be telling us to do something, and it might be a scripture. Maybe something we hear something in a message, in a sermon that's proclaimed, and the person preaching might even just be a throwaway comment that the preacher makes or the person who's teaching. But God may use that. Again, I go back to an illustration my father told me, again, many years ago. And the church where he grew up. And he was listening to somebody preach. Now, I don't know if it was the pastor of the church at the time. But he said the pastor made a mistake in his sermon, probably Pastor Page. The pastor made a mistake, and he said that, I don't know how he was, what his message was that day, but the statement was made something like this, that in the Victorian times, they used to send little boys up the chimneys to clean windows. Obviously, you know there's no windows in the chimney stack. That was the mistake he made. And there was one person in that church, I don't know who it was, but he said, why? The pastor's made a mistake. And God spoke to that man and said, and so are you. And so are you. So a mistake, maybe it's a throwaway comment that someone made, but if it speaks, write it down, make a note of it, so you can go back and you can remember it and you can be encouraged, because that's what we do with meditation. It encourages us to face the tough times in our walk with God. When we go through hard times, we go through pressures, we go back to the Word of God. Again, I've told you many times that in the last few weeks, you know, I went to the Word of God on the day that my mum went home to be with the Lord. Why? Because there was encouragement. I needed that encouragement. Even though we'd spent the day together as the family, you know, the five of us children, and we spent it with Dad, you know, we were encouraging one another when we were together. But when I came away from that gathering, I came home to Jane, and Jane was encouraging as well. But, you know, I just needed to go to the Word of God, because I found in the Word of God all the encouragement that I needed to face the next day, which was church. A church service, which we were, both me and Dad, were leading and speaking at. So when we go through this tough time, we use the Word of God to encourage us. We can use the Word of God through meditation, and going back over what he has said, to trace our path and how God's been faithful to us over the years, to see how we've grown in God, how we've progressed, how we've developed, see his faithfulness in our lives, and really to make sense of what's been happening to us. Because sometimes we think, well, I don't know why I'm in going through this, but, you know, they will say hindsight is great. You know, if we could have the hindsight at the beginning, it wouldn't worry us so much. But we can look back at, yes, I see why I needed to go that path to get me to where I am. And we see God's hand upon us. You know, there were times, and again, some of you may not know this, but I'll share it with you anyway, because it's relevant here in Malta. So I'm only talking 4 years ago. we as a family were desperately in need, both financially and spiritually. Now, we've been Christians many years, we've been pastoring churches, we've been ministering, but we were desperate in need financially and spiritually. Now, we didn't share those hardships with anybody else. We didn't tell you. We didn't say, well, we're going through a tough time, please pray for us. We said nothing. Actually, you probably wouldn't have known, because when we came into church, we were upbeat, we were joyful. You know, we didn't let it show. But we left the service, went home, back to the apartment. We were feeling broken. Very often we were in tears because of where we were at. It's not so much, weren't crying so much because of the financial need. It was more, perhaps we thought we'd made a mistake coming. Even worse than that, that we'd missed what God was saying to us. Perhaps that we... Did we understand correctly? Did we interpret what God was saying? Perhaps we've missed his timing. And these are all the things that were going on in our mind at the time. But fortunately, I had, the foresight to log and record and journal every scripture the Lord had used to speak to us. Going back even up to 2 years, I had logged every scripture that the Lord had spoken to us concerning the way he was going to lead us over those that time and to bring us to Malta. And what we did, I think we did it at least twice. We went back together. Jane and I sat on the apartment in that cold room in St. Paul's Bay, because it was coming into the winter months and there was no heating in the place. And if there was heating, we wouldn't have been able to afford to put it on. We sat under a blanket, wrapped up in a blanket. And we had the laptop in front of us. And we just went through and we read every scripture. Every time the Lord said something and I'd written it down, it wasn't handwritten, it was typed in on a Word document. But I opened it up, we read every scripture. Every one. Going back 2 years. And what actually that did to us inside. It encouraged us. It strengthened us. It blessed us. It got us... We saw that, the hand of God was upon us. He's leading us and directing us. And as we went back over those scriptures, praying, waiting on the Lord, allowing his word to renew our minds, we saw the transformation take place inside. Now, the physical need hadn't gone away. We still had no money. But spiritually, we were much stronger. Why? We were being renewed. Our way of thinking was being renewed. The transformation was taking place. And what actually happened, that transformation on the inside of us actually affected what was happening on the external, the outside. And within days of that time spent before the Lord. Now we cried through it as we read the scriptures. We were critical. Is this a misinterpretation of the scripture? Have we actually taken this out of its context the way... But we came to the point that, no, this is what God has sent to us. This is the way God was leading to us. This is the place God was meant for us to be. I'd say within days of that, the financial need was met. Amen. And God just began to bless us. Now, I say the financial need was met. It was met in principle. It took another 4 weeks for the money physically to arrive in our bank account. But we were released straight away. And God blessed us. So that's what meditation of the word, that's why it's essential to our waiting on God. Why? Because it shows us, it encourages us, it blesses us, it leads us, it guides us, it encourages us, and we see the development, we see the progress. And that's actually what God said to Joshua, and I'll finish with this scripture.
That reward, because God went through that. You, both of you are faithful.
Uh-huh.
See? You're faithful, and that's enough coming from me, is it?
let's turn up the book of Joshua. I want to read one scripture to finish with. You know, it's essential, this type of training, this type of... let me use the word meditation.
Joshua
1. Because God spoke to Joshua regarding the same thing. Now, this can be taken out of context. And a lot of people have taken it out of context. It's Joshua 1 verse 8. You'll know the scripture. It's a very familiar scripture. Joshua is about... He's just taken over leadership of God's people. Moses has died. It says that in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. And he says, look, he says, verse 2, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over the Jordan. So Joshua is about to embark on the greatest conquest that God's people had known up until this time. They've been led by Moses through the Red Sea, through the wilderness. They've been led 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And it came to the point now where God says, okay, now's the time to cross the Jordan. You've spent long enough wandering. And he gives Joshua some instruction for his conquest of the land, his ministry, his mission. Now, it's not necessarily talking about his you hear it's been taken out of context and say, you know, you can use this and you can have whatever you want. Now, I do believe in prosperity, but there's a right way. But here he's saying, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. Why is he to meditate in the word? So that he can follow it to the letter. So that he can do what God is telling him to do. So that he can find out the strategy for his conquest of the land. You know what happened. God spoke to him, told him how he was going to conquer the land. He was going to go in. The first city they came to was Jericho. You know what the strategy was at Jericho. They were to march around the city. Would it? Is that the normal strategy of an army, just to go and encircle it, and then once a day, for 6 days, and then on the seventh day they were to do it again, 7 times. Now that's not the way any army person would, or captain, corporal, whatever you have, they would give to their men. That's not a logical strategy. But it was in this case. And Joshua had to find that through seeking God. So he says, don't just assume that this is going to happen. Seek me. Seek my word. Follow my law. Follow the law to the letter, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then he says, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You'll be successful in your mission. You will you'll accomplish what I've set out for you. Now, I want to quote the last statement of that verse from another translation, from the Amplified Translation. Because it says, as it says in the others, it says that this book of the law should not depart from your mouth, but you should meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it, just as we read here. It says, then you should, this is the statement, the sentence I want to quote from the Amplified Translation, says this, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. When we follow what God says, we deal wisely. When we renew our minds like this, a transformation takes place inside us. We're like those of the scriptures of old that met with God. You know, we touched on them a few weeks ago. People like Isaiah, people like Moses. You know, they didn't come away the same person. They weren't the same old person that they were when they met with God. They came away transformed, changed. That waiting on God affected a change in them, and it will affect a change in us. So we've got to learn to renew our mind, be transformed. Now, God willing, next week we're going to continue developing this theme and looking at something else that will enable us in our process of waiting on the Lord. So until then, we'll leave it there for now.
Amen.
Amen.